Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Faith. Faith heals. That's the topic for today. I want to turn that notion that faith is at the root of all healing and what that really means. Now, as always, I want to take this from rhetoric into something that's visceral. If you use the word faith, if you were under siege, if you were sick, if you were chronically ill, whatever and however you were being tested, we would all agree. We can all sit in a room and smile and nod at each other that faith is required. I am going to turn faith into something visceral today. Because if faith is going to truly shift your reality, if your communion with God in times of trouble are truly going to shift your reality, you have to, I implore you, to understand what it is to be body-centered. There is a connection to your body, to your being, to your organ systems that faith is very much about. And if you don't have that, you have less faith. That's a big one. It's a big one. And I can only point out that biblically speaking, there is much ado about those long fasts like the one Jesus did in the desert. And why? The way I'm going to interpret that is very much a case for all natural and nutritional and holistic medicine. Really, those 40 days in the desert, in a sense, were a month in the spa. Now, that's a stretch, yes, because there were such intense issues out there in the desert. Sooner or later, you were going to meet Satan himself. Well, I have something to tell you. I meet Satan all the time in communion with my patients. I watch them before they heal their particular disease, their particular ailment, meet the devil. The devil within them, the devil on the outside. And their faith is tested. I'll get back to it in a second, but on the tip of every tongue of every person, almost every person that's been chronically ill, is the plea to the heavens. Why has God forsaken me? Why do I suffer? I'm only 35 years old, and I suffer, and I don't deserve it. And why me? Things were going so well in my life. I've worked 50 years, raised a family, sit hand in hand with my wife, and now I face my death through cancer. These stories abound. In case you didn't know, you're not the only person out there that thinks they've been betrayed. You're not the only person out there that thinks they've been misunderstood. You're not the only person out there that had a father that never said the right words to you, or a mother that never said the right words to you. I just have to bring this up again. Sometimes, you know, this show gets very technical because you need knowledge, but sometimes it gets very much like this show. because all I do is walk into it each and every week with all of you. So I know this is relevant to you. I know many of you are asking yourselves why you've never been understood, why you've never been heard, why no matter what you do, you don't get the response you need, why you've been slandered, why you've always been victimized by gossip, by slander. And I'm saying to you as a doctor, because I see so much of this with my own flock, that if this is you, you must shed the light upon the beast. You must shed the light upon the beast. And I'll get into what that means. But before we go there, I want you to have a deeper understanding, if we can give this to you today, a deeper understanding of why emotions cause disease. Why does a person walking into a doctor's office asking for help never truly avail themselves, allow themselves to be helped, as it relates to this feeling inside them that God has left them alone, God has betrayed them, or that they're under siege from powerful forces that they're so chronically victimized by? Why do people not see their healing that way? Why do they continually come in and ask for a nutritional supplement? The delusion of nutritional medicine, the lie of it. For so many of you, I shouldn't say lie. Bad word. Take that back. But the delusion of it, for so many of you, is that your chronic illnesses, without addressing whether or not the intestines will uptake the nutrition and what is involved in that. So just a little review on how it occurs now. Those herbal teas you drink, those capsules you swallow, are going to go down the esophagus into the stomach, and then they're going to coat the intestines, the small intestine, comprised of three parts, the duodenum, the jejunum, and the ileum. That's about 30 to 35 feet of intestinal tract. And as those foods, those supplements, those nutrifiers spread out across your intestinal floor there, there are these little suction cups called villi, V-I-L-L-I, intestinal villi. And those intestinal villi soak up that good nutrition. Here's what's so fascinating. We all shrink ourselves down into little beings and go inside the intestinal tract and watch those suction cups, those intestinal villi, coated with these fertile herbs, these costly remedies from nature that you've swallowed down and coat your villi with. If we were in there watching it, we would see the intestinal villi sometimes not absorb the herb. The little suction cups would stay shut. Because those suction cups are under the control of the brain, your psycho-emotional self, the part of you that may be fixated on why am I sick and why did this happen to me and my life has been a mess and God has forsaken me. While you stay focused on that, well, 50% of every one of your seconds, while half of every unit time in your life has some focus on your self-proclaimed ripoff, those intestinal villi refuse to open to the good nutrition. Wow. Now that ought to be on 60 Minutes. And we have verified that in science. The book, of course, Hans Selye, S-E-L-Y-E, The Stress of Life. Hans Selye, The Stress of Life. Earth-shattering paradigm. Turning emotion and negative emotion and stress into a physiological platform so you, the patient, could understand why you're not healing. And of course, along the way, others have studied, and we call all the nervous system, the brain matter, smattered throughout the intestinal villi, we call that brain matter, that nerve tissue, the second brain. That's how complicated that system is. So here's my point to you. While you suffer from your illnesses, from your irritable bowel syndromes, your Crohn's diseases, your cancers, your hepatitises, your Lyme diseases, your chronic neck and low back pain, your arthritis, the list is on and on and on. While you're suffering from that, while you're asking for health in terms of nutrition, there's always something other underneath it. Always. I almost never don't see this to be the case. You have to get to that part of you that starts to come to terms with why you suffer, why you've been slandered, why you've been left alone, why you're 60 years old and your husband has left you for a younger woman, and you sit in bed at the couch at night with children that aren't around anymore, and you are quite positively alone. There's one of a thousand scenarios. I live them with people every single day. And you have to understand why you plead for a healing, and yet that divorce, that trauma 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 years ago is still not allowing your intestinal suction cups, your villi, to open up and receive the healing. So we can talk about faith, and we can put you all in a room, and we can talk about faith. We can come to a place of worship and talk about faith. Well, I'm going to come to a place of worship and talk about whether or not the suction cups in your intestine open up to receive God's bounty. That's proof to me. Talk is cheap. Truly it is. The euphemism lives on, or does it not? Or does it especially live on in Los Angeles, the city where much talk is cheap? Oh, yes. And while we're talking, are your intestinal villi opening up and receiving? And if not, how are you viewing your process? How are you looking at your process? Have you, and how successful have you been at resolving your process, and what are the consequences? Well, one consequence of holding on is the villi don't open. But here's another one. Another consequence of holding on is that your body holds on, meaning your physical body constricts. You constrict from head to toe while you hold on to your internal fight with whoever, God, your ex-wife, your ex-husband, your children, your boss, your job, your world. While you hang on to it and fight, the point of Medici's show today is that your organ systems live in constriction. So why would you be spending money and energy doing gallbladder flushes when your bile ducts are in constriction? Why and how would you be so concerned about your cardiovascular health when your coronary arteries, from the big aorta to the teeny-weeny ones that line the heart or go up into the brain, when they're in vasoconstriction from stress, chronic constriction from stress? Or what is high blood pressure, right? High blood pressure is generally not an herb. High blood pressure is about the mind fighting its fight of betrayal, vasoconstricting, clamping down the diameter of every artery in your body from head to toe. Thus, the volume of blood that the heart pumps through the blood vessel, that diameter of the blood vessel is greatly reduced, so the pressure on the inside wall of the artery goes up because it's a reduced diameter. That's common sense. You can understand that. Those of you with IBS, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, biliary disease, stomach ulcers, do you understand? Those constrictions mean you don't get bile down your gallbladder. Those constrictions mean that your intestinal tract, the lumen, the diameter of your intestinal tract, is greatly reduced in vasoconstriction, controlled by the mind. Now, are you going to get that across to somebody first day? Never. I'm pretty good at it. A lot of my sessions begin with a hello, and 5 minutes later, someone's using up a Kleenex box on my desk. I'm pretty good at getting to the heart of it. Because if you're going to come into my office talking to me about various symptoms when there's a mass of psyche creating that symptomology, if you're going to do that with me, I'm going to go right for the gut of it. You know what? Those are the easiest people to help. They walk in hoity-toity, covering up the truth, and the humility, the good humility within them, with the right prompting, I admit, blabbers them all over the table in 4 to 5 to 10 minutes. Yes, indeed, they admit, my life is crazy. I can't take it anymore. Those people heal because they've come to terms with it. But not everybody's like that. You see, when you get through, if you've been divorced for 40 years, if you're a 70-year-old woman or man, and when you were 20 and you had 3 kids and he walked out because he cheated, or she left because she cheated, or someone passed on tragically, or whatever it is, and it's 20, 30, 40 years later, and you've raised that family, and you're proud of it, well, number one, God bless you. But number two, just because you've dealt with it in your mind, to some extent in your spirit, you see, there's a body there. And in that body, the spirit remains trapped. So you have to take the healing, the spiritual healing, to the body. This is so important. Good Christian people will suffer without understanding this. And we do not want that. So let's shed light on this concept. If you are of strong faith, and you have suffered, and you have overcome, understand that there is a generation of understanding that says there's a piece of this illumination that you have to attach to the tissues of your body, or they don't work right. This is the sad thing, and thus the show. By the way, the show, straighttalk.cc, please get your friends to the website, please. Because that's how it grows. You're not going to hear this type of talk on radio anywhere in America. There's no selling on this show. It is purely educational. So support it. Tell your friends about it. Now, those of you who have gotten most of it out of your body, because you are of strong faith, need to understand what happens as it lingers. What happens as it lingers, it can leave you in biliary congestion. It can keep your lymph continually blocked and congested. It can leave your arteries constricted. And while you're convinced it's done, and now that you have the wisdom to enjoy the second half of your life, there's still one piece, and that is the opening through your neurological system. the opening through your neurological system. I know that when I say the opening through your neurological system, I know I'm speaking ancient something to you. I know I'm speaking Greek. And I understand it's difficult to understand what I mean by that. What does the opening of the neurological system mean as it relates to health, as it relates to someone at 60 or 70 years old who has suffered and overcome and feels just fine except they're sick? What does opening the neurological system mean? Well, for openers, I ask you to trust that your circulatory system, your lymphatic system, your drainage systems, the diameters of the intestine are all locked in tension from past trauma. And unless you understand what the opening of the neurological system means, unless you truly understand what the flow of energy through your tissue actually means, not mistaking it for some sort of inane voodoo, product of somebody, especially my delusion about the way the body functions. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, well, then that's the discussion for the show. To open the neurological system is simple. It means you respond to touch the way a dog responds to being pet. It means you respond to touch the way a cat responds to being touched. It means you respond to touch the way your daughter or your son did when they were at a very young age and you touched them, when the language of touch was very young and you saw the light on your child's face as you caressed it, as you stretched it, as you cleaned it. It means that there's something happening to your animal, to your children, to the body. It becomes electric. It will say, it will claim, it will attest to, it will witness the reality in its body that it begins to feel something wonderful flow through the tissues. And that wonderful energy indicates you have successfully reconfigured or opened the neurological system. That is very clear. That is not to be misunderstood, because that description of what I mean by opening the neurological system, opening the meridians, letting the life flow through the tissue, cannot be misunderstood. You either get that or you don't. If you're wondering if it's you, it's not you. If you're wondering, sooner or later you're going to walk and talk to someone who is not wondering, and you'll see the difference. Discuss it. Discuss it at church. Discuss it at work. Discuss it at family dinner. But understand what it is to open the neurological system, because your organs will not work and you will not absorb the nutrition at the optimal level required for the healing. So yes, I know God has betrayed you. And there is a devil. And what are we going to do with that person that hurt you? What are we going to do with them? Are we going to beat them? Are we going to attack them? Are we going to take them to court? Are we going to run them over? What are we going to do to that person? All these things you think about. If someone attacks your child, what are you going to do? If someone slanders you at work, what are you going to do? If somebody runs their car into yours purposely and robs you or rapes you, what are you going to do? I know these things have never happened to you. None of them. None of you have ever been attacked. Of course you have. And we forget these things. And we go on, why cry over spilt milk? What's done is done. Certainly that is wisdom. Certainly when you don't cry over spilled milk, that is wisdom. Who wants to be a babbling, eternal crybaby? Not you or I. It didn't hurt us. But I tell you this as a doctor. It stays in your tissue unless you understand what it means to open the body neurologically. I implore you to understand that much of my life, my ministry, is about this. People ask for what herb do I take to help my body heal itself. And very often, there is something more fundamental to their healing, and that is this show. Now, my point to you is, what do you do with your assailant? What do you do when you've been victimized? How do you see your world? Is that person the devil? You have to ask yourself that question because you've been wounded. And so I give you a perspective that I hope many of you already have. It is not that that person is the devil, that boss, that coworker, that person you don't even know, that family member, that parent, that son, that relative, that brother-in-law, that sister-in-law. It's not that they're the devil. It is the devil in them. And your job is to be cunning. Your job is to expose the devil within them. Your job is to have the courage to expose the molestation, the slander, the theft, the gossip. Your job is to bring into the light the darkness so that the devil within them can be exposed and so that devil can flee. Because that's the way these things work. The devil in many of us works in dark, quiet, sneaky ways. Where were the betraying disciples as they betrayed Christ? Where were they? Were they sitting next to him? Were they holding communion with a light around their head? No. They're depicted in the corner with their hand over their mouth, barely talking, expressing horrid slander to Christ, about Christ. You know your betrayers. They don't look you in the eye. They don't talk to you in your face. They live in dark places. Those are your betrayers. It's all what we call behind your back. That's where the darkness is. And so, first of all, if you are under siege in such a case, your faith, the faith that you require, is the faith that's necessary to bring it to light. All the great movements have understood this. In this century, we saw Martin Luther King Jr. do this. In this century, we saw Mahatma Gandhi do this. In this century, we saw the women's suffrage movement. Women were told in the year 1900 that they did not have enough brains to vote. They were told in 1895, when basketball was developed, they were told in universities like Radcliffe, that if they were to partake in such physical activity, surely all their internal organs would collapse to the bottom of their body and leak out through their bottoms. They were told this. This is historical record. It is fact. People have been slandered, from the blacks needed to sit in the back of the bus to women that have unnecessary hysterectomies and shouldn't have ever had the right to vote, to enslaved cultures, in the name very often of wisdom, enslaved cultures who have been mutilated unnecessarily, immorally, unethically, all in the name of darkness. So when this is happening to you, if it's not exposed, if you've been molested, incested, what, this doesn't happen? Are some of you not listening right now that have held things in secret for years? that have perhaps had your ovaries cut out, that have had your uteruses dysfunctioned, that have lived with lives where your periods have caused you agony, that have bred children sick because of the tragedies that you endured years ago, and they still live in the darkness. Oh, just forget it. It didn't really affect me. I'm over it now. Yes, there's virtue in that. You can't lie down and cry your whole life. You can't be a baby. You have to keep up with the rest of the flock. But you hear it from me. These things are held in the body and they are costly. And what really you're waging war with in the end is your perception of evil. So the only way you bring the better side of people is by understanding it's the devil in them. It's not the devil. People are used by evil force. People are manipulated by evil force in marginal ways and in diabolical ways. The devil, that is another matter. And I can say to you, statements like this didn't mean a lot to me 20 years ago. But watching what people suffer, what I see people go through, if I didn't believe in the devil then, certainly I believe in the devil now. All you have to do is hear the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of stories I've heard over the years. And you sit back and ask yourself, gee, all I wanted to do was tell people about Carl Legend. And if you're honest with yourself, inevitably you're drawn in to life histories and stories that sometimes it's not about the devil in something or someone. You feel like you've met the devil yourself. So, if this is you, if you can relate to this, you have to expose the light. You have to bring to testimony. You have to bring to the platform the event, the series of events. And if you're keeping it inside, whether you were verbally abused by your mother, whether you've lived your entire life under the brow of your father, whether some worker has never given you your due, how you feel like you've slaved for someone and you haven't been adequately honored, whatever it might be, you have to find the strength to speak. And the only way you're going, and this is my point here, the only way you'll find your eloquence is when you understand that that person has good in them like you. And you have to talk to their good. Because if you cannot talk to their good, you will talk to their beast. And then they've got you. That is the challenge. That is the act of faith. The act of faith, if you want to take faith in illness, faith in the world, into the practical reality of what you do tomorrow, you have to be a rock of strength as it relates to bringing the highness of yourself to the highness of their self, whatever self they possess that still lives in the light. You have to contact it and you have to magnify it. You have to hypnotize them. You have to mesmerize them. You have to bring them closer to God in confrontation. And if you can succeed at that, then you are a diplomat of God. But if you talk to their darkness, the darkness will grow. Anything you do, all the way to appropriate violence, anything you do, all the way to appropriate violence, do not be talking and having a come to Jesus meeting when somebody puts a knife to your throat. And I know these things never happen in Los Angeles, so perhaps I shouldn't bring it up. No one's ever been held gunpoint or with a knife to their throat. But my point to you is, just in the event that this has happened or will happen, understand that sometimes you have to respond with love, even if it means violence. Keep your eye peeled on that. lest you think that it's never appropriate to defend your family or yourself. But you have to bring perspective to it, because the minute you lose your focus, the minute you do not see that exchange as an opportunity to bring light to darkness, you have lost your discernment. You will lose your vocabulary. You will lose your physical ability to discern an adequate physical execution of a technique to render the opponent neutral. That is the art. And that is faith put into action. There is no other faith unless faith transforms into action. Or it's left to be just simply rhetoric. Rhetoric has no place in the prosperity of your future, I assure you. And rhetoric does not work when you are under siege by disease. Wow. That's a lot. Straight Talk on Health. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you just tuned in, if you were just strumming the tunes on your radio, I'm sure you're tuning in now. StraightTalk.cc. Get to the website. Hear this show again. Now, how do the powers of darkness keep you sick? Well, I'm going to use a word for you now. It's called entrapment. Entrapment. There's a special kind of person out there. There's a special kind of person who finds themselves spiritually pure. Do you guys know what I mean by spiritually pure? Well, people not prone to manipulation. People not prone to power struggles. People more like the poets, more like the musicians. More like people who live in harmony and just give glory for the simple things. People who don't take tensions about making another 100,000 a year. People who don't live in the world of, I need to expand my empire. People who don't live in the world of, I need to be famous. People who don't live in the world of, I need to change the world. I'm talking about good, honest, innocent, God-loving people. I see them all the time. They're not looking to be in the National Enquirer. They're not sitting there at 20 or 30, thinking about the millions they'll make someday and the interviews they'll have on Oprah. They're good, honest, hardworking American people. Looking to live a spiritually aligned life and do well. Many of those people will find themselves sooner or later entrapped. Entrapment. Many of you have experienced the darkness through entrapment artists. Entrapment artists are people who live to extract your emotional energy, your spiritual energy. They find the fertile, they find the ripe fruit on the tree, they jump on its back, and they ride it into the ground. And these relationships are sticky, and they are complicated. I see this all the time with parents and children. Usually the child is entrapped. It's covertly trapped. And that child may be 50 or 60 or 70. And there is some rhinoceros, some beast of a parent on their back, figuring out ways, successful for decades, to hold their electrical field, to hold their creative potential at bay. And that blockage of the child's energy, or the wife, or the husband, or the coworker, or the boss, or the artist, these entrapment scenarios, if you have a sense of what I'm talking about, are so common and they are so often linked to illness. And I ask you on this day, if you can identify the words I'm saying, to repeat after me, to your emotional entrapper, the one who sucks you dry of emotion. They don't ask you for money. They don't ask you for certain types of favors. They ask you for your emotional energy. Why am I doing this today on public radio? What does this have to do with health? You know what it has to do with health. If you were under the brow of an entrapment artist, or a couple of entrapment artists, or if your life has lived in codependence with these types, this is why you're sick. Let's get to the guts of this. And if this is you, I ask you to have the courage to turn to your emotional victimizer and say, you know, Charlie, I don't have the time today. And you have to risk their poison, because you will bring up the devil in them. Not the devil, but you will bring up the devil in them. When your entrapment artist is exposed, just like when your slanderer is exposed, just like when your sexual abuser is exposed, just like when your physical abuser is exposed, just like when your verbal abuser is exposed, an exposure begins in that quiet moment where you turn to them and say, stop. You're going to bring up their devil. And you may not be met with a friendly smile. You see, so in the non-reality of the psychodynamics, of the psycho-spiritual dynamics of life, in the non-reality of it, in our New Age fantasy, you're counseled to keep your mouth either quiet or expose it. And when you expose it, of course, because you're talking to the goodness within them, they're going to smile and admit that they spent 7 of your early years molesting you, and it's all going to be fine. Or your boss is going to tell you, yes, I have condescended to you verbally over the last decade, and I'm sorry. And that's what some of these inane, ridiculous counselors out there tell you. They'll say to you, well, have you spoken to your abuser? Have you asked them for forgiveness? I mean, all these different things, and it's ridiculous, and it's why it doesn't work. So let me remind you, your act of faith is to bring up their devil by exposing the truth. Expect their horns to come out. That is your journey out of enslavement. If you want to get out from under the brow of an entrapped relationship, turn to them and say, you know, I don't have time for this anymore. I'm not comfortable with this. Sit there and write down a list of one-liners. One-liners. Do not come in there with 6 pages of your bleeding guts on a sheet of paper as if you're going to take all of your entrapment artist's time, all your abuser's time, and simply do what with it? Spit it out and vomit it on the table because you've suffered for so many years. Do not do that. It's a sentence or two. Send it to that dark place from which it comes. It's a single sentence. It's a look. Trust that. If you trust it and you relax behind it and you exercise it and you begin to get used to it, you will become more and more and more eloquent and creative at doing it. You're hearing me do it now. None of these one-hour symposiums are ever done deliberately. I don't write them. I speak them. Relax and find your center. and emit and expose and expect their teeth to come out. And understand it's just the devil in them. It's not them. They are not the devil. They are not evil. Don't do that to yourself. Work only insofar as you want to expose the darkness. And that's all you have to do. If you do that and you can relax behind that, you can move ahead. Move ahead to the point where you will hear the entrapment artist long before the conversation begins. That is the real art. I am asking you to consider the practice of discernment. So now we're introducing another word. We're introducing the word discernment. To stay free of disease, one must discern correctly and with grace who you're going to let into your life and who you're going to keep at a distance. And if you discern correctly and are nonetheless attacked, you will feel so much better because you saw it coming a mile away. In the workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your church, in your social club, wherever it may be, you will see it coming. Now you have mastery because you have spotted the enemy within them, the devil within them, before they've even had a chance to execute. That's power. That is the power you want, but you must understand the exercise of discernment is a philosophy put into practice that teaches you how to deal with the devil in them as it attacks, assails, confronts, condemns, and lies and gossips about you. If you put that into practice in the way I'm asking you to consider it, you will start to see it before it manifests. That is the highness of discernment. And what you'll be left to pull into yourself are people who will align with you, people who will cover your back, people who see God the way you see God, and you will develop your family outside your family, the family of God. This is what Jesus did. Where did those disciples come from? What did it require within Christ? And of all the hundreds and thousands of people that could have become the 12 disciples, why was it those 12? Someone looked there over their resumes. They had gone to the right colleges. Is that the way we did it? The human resource department selected them out of a group of a million? Christ felt the light. And if there was sufficient light, a deal was struck. A deal with the same vision, going with intention to the same place. And at an art forum, I am sure a few words were spoken. One just knows their family. This is the family you're looking for. But you're locked into another family. You're locked into the family you were given, and perhaps that family has been besieged themselves by darkness and are holding you ransom in that darkness. And then you come to me for an herb, and I'm going to cure your disease by giving you an herb. Well, first, of course, as we all know, I don't cure any disease. I ask your body to cure its disease, but I'm going to finesse that with an herb when you're under that type of stress. You have to get straight in your mind who your family really is. You see? And you have to expose the darkness in your own nuclear family so that you can be freed up to develop your connections. This is what we call a church. You see? This is where we find out where the true brotherhood is, where the true sisterhood is. This is where we make the most important relationships of our life. So if you're entrapped, if you're enslaved, if your intestinal villi are not opening correctly, you're not extracting the nutrition, and whatever microbes are eating you because of that, If that is you, if that is you on any level, your job is to show functional faith by neutralizing your entrapment artist, by neutralizing your slanderer, by bringing it out into the light. And in the light it be, you will feel the presence of God and the power. And do not fear that, because you cannot lose once you expose. And do not fear abandonment. You will not be abandoned. You take it from me on this day. You will find salvation. You will find, as Christ found, his family. And from that family, you will grow a bigger family. This has much to do with illness. My point to you again is that there is a physiological translation of the wisdom I give to you today into the intelligence of the cell. When through your autonomic nervous system, look up my past 60 shows now, within your autonomic nervous system is the possibility of moving from the high-stress sympathetic dominant state into parasympathetic balance. And if you can successfully negotiate that and open your fields, open your nervous flow, your nervous system's energy field. Do not be afraid of that. That is not an occult statement. That is a statement asking you to feel something in your body that is very physiologically based. And we have people who are tools of the devil. Simply stated, tools of the devil, who see these words as nonsense, as lies. There's no such thing as energy. We can't measure energy. It's amazing to me how many people in the fields of health, scientists per se, will deny the existence of this kind of an energy and pray in church on Sunday. It amazes me. It amazes me how any word around the word energetic flow can upset so many people when it can be measured in the body, when basically the body does reduce to a magnetic field, when basically you can experience in your own body something moving, something warm, something like circulation, something wonderful, something euphoric, that you in your experience will always associate to a better sense of you. So people can feel it. People can testify to it. And yet the people in science, the people sometimes even in the church, will deny its existence. Why do that? Why tell good people they're stupid? When they sit and they look at you and they say, but I feel something moving through my body. How can a scientist turn to an intelligent professional professing to feel a circulating warmth move up their leg, which is not blood flow, move up their arm, which is not blood flow, move throughout their bodies in ways that the arterial and venous system don't flow? And how can these people be told in the name of intelligent science that they're not having the experience that they're having? They who own businesses, they who have raised families, they who have wonderful academic credentials, they who have passed many of life's tests in the rational reality plane, they who have thrived and prospered in business, and then they're told by others. Whether it's deacons of churches, or whether it's the scientists, or whether it's your medical doctors, that none of this they're actually experiencing. Does that make sense to you? And for lack of that, for lack of this neurological flow through your body being common in the language of the day, you suffer. Because you think your betrayals and your slanders and your abandonments and your physical abuses, your sexual abuses, your psychic abuses are out of your body. When they're not. And you come in, people of good faith, people who are convinced they've done right in their life, and why should they suffer now with disease? I am telling you as a doctor, I am telling you as a scientist, that your organ systems need their own cleansing. If this makes sense to you, bravo. If this doesn't make sense to you, cleanse your body. Cleanse it. Listen to my 60 shows on straighttalk.cc. Cleanse out your body. Stretch your tendons. Get flexible and clean the blood. I assure you, somewhere along the line at the root of you, as you cleanse your blood, as you lengthen your tendons, as you cross-fiber out your scars, as you rid yourself of your interference fields, you're going to feel your gut-level connection to those emotions that you thought you were over, only you're not. You'll meet them. You'll meet the darkness that still lives in you, and you'll have an opportunity to purge it for eternity out of your being. I speak to many today who fit this category. I speak to many today who can relate to what I'm talking about. Now take that, take this show, listen to it again, and then listen to it again, and then listen to it again. And you'll see it'll have different and deeper meaning every time you listen to it. Because I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.